We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 15 through 24. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 through 24. We'll read these responsibly. I'll read the odd verses, you'll read the even verses. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 through 24. And let's begin. Proverbs 15, 15 through 24. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much, Lord, for the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge that comes from your word. We ask you, please help us, Lord, as we live our lives. Lord, help us to tell the story of Jesus. Help us to live our lives, to be a great witness for the things that you've shown us. Help us to show other people as well. Be with us tonight. Keep the distractions away. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open. I'll come back to Proverbs 15 in a moment. I want to set a foundation tonight, and then we'll jump right into the truth. We live in a world that seems like everyone is either angry or depressed, offended, or discouraged. We'll walk through life and say, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? As you read and listen to the news and as you watch television and as you think of all the nasty, negative, and depressing things you put into your mind every day. Just think about it. I'm not trying to preach hard tonight, though I don't have to work it very hard not to. I'll be honest with you, though. I don't understand how a Christian, a child of God, can live with the same nasty, negative attitude that the world has. I don't get it. We read in Proverbs 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, you don't have to have what the world calls success to be happy. Hang on. You think I'm upset? It's going to get worse. We get to live as Christians with the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. We have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to guide us in the Word of God to tell us how to live. And we don't have to live like the world and the devil. Yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we're all affected by sin, ours and everyone else's. But we don't need to live in the mully grubs in a pity party and poor me, no hope and depressed and weirded out all the time. If you're a saved child of God, you have no excuse to be depressed or live discouraged. Amen. Look at Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Now, I don't mean to be unkind when I make this statement, but what do you do in living hell on earth? As a Christian, as a child of God, you can live above the hell beneath. I mentioned this morning. As we were in Maui, there was a family in the church, and of course the church lost everything they had. the pastor and his son, and all of, there's 12 or 13 families in their church that lost everything they own but the clothes on their back. Pastor looked at me and said, "Preacher," he said, "there's not many things I miss, but I had a 1,000 book library." He said, "I lost every book." I said, "Well, what would you like if I could get a few?" He said, "Well, I'd like to get some." And this week I ordered about 5 or 6 books for him and sent to him. I can't replace 1,000, but I can do a little. But that, there was a family there. They're meeting in the basement of a coffee shop. Happy people. Good night. It'd be like Grace Baptist Church speaking a different language. Honestly, I mean, they're just happy folks. Good people. Enjoying God. And yet, I saw that man who, he and his wife, he was supposed to have triple bypass the day after the fire, and they literally had to jump out of their car and over a wall and into the ocean. Spent 5.5 hours in the ocean, bobbing in the ocean, going down as the fires came even out into the water and burning them. It was so hot. You understand, the ground in Hawaii is much different than here. It's formed with lava, so even the ground is filled with iron and different things. So as the fire came down, not only the heat from the fire, but the ground gets that hot to start melting everything. It holds the heat. It's rough. Yet, they were going around shaking hands. Thank God we're alive. Thank God we get the gospel out to more people. I wonder how many people in our church and in this area would be depressed over that. God tells us that the way of life is above to the wise. I hear people often try to criticize, saying, "Well, you Christians think you just live above everybody else." You know what my answer is? Yep. Yep. I did not say I am a better person than anybody else. But God says we don't have to live with the hell beneath. The child of God can live above. Above. I live with eternity in view. I don't live with this nasty, sin-cursed world in view. I don't think I am better than any other human being in this earth. Well, maybe a few. But I have chosen to live a way that is above most people. See, preacher, don't you ever get discouraged? I visit it from time to time, but I never stay there. It knocks on my door, but I never let it into the house. Yes, I know what it means to have heartache. Yes, I know what it means to have burdens. Yes, I know what it means to have attack. Yes, I know what it means to be drugged through the newspapers and you name it. I know what it means to be hated. But can I tell you something? I don't live there. Been there, done that, bought the farm and the t-shirt many times over. Guess what? Still here. Why do Christians want to live hell on earth? I don't get it. Say, "Well, preacher, you're just different." No, I'm not. I'm made out of the same dirt you're made out of. God has made it so that we can live above the hell here on earth. What is hell? The absence of the presence of God. For you to run around depressed, discouraged, and your lower lip, you don't need a vacuum cleaner because you're sucking up all the dirt with your lower lip on the carpet as it is, means you're living without the presence of God in your life and you're living like a lost person in hell. I didn't say it, God did. The way of life to the wise is above. So we can depart from the hell beneath. I don't know how else to say this. The ball's in your court, though. God made it available whether you live it or not is up to you, not God.
That's right.
Don't blame God when you're discouraged. That's your fault. When all we see is the mud and the mire and the negative and the nasty and the vileness of the world, we need to realize we're not living above, we're living the hell beneath. What are you doing looking down? So, here we go. Number one, wise people look up, not around or down. Wise people look up, not around and not down. Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above. Can I tell you something? Too many people are trying to compare themselves with the nastiness at work. The nastiness of the world. Folks, it doesn't take much to be better than a Nancy Pelosi or a Hillary Clinton.
You're right.
My dog is better than that. That was the nicest way I know how to say that. Can I tell you something? It's all in what you're looking at, though. From time to time, I'll bring a preacher here, and I'll introduce him as my friend. Have you ever noticed the quality of friends I have around me? Dr. Jeff Fugit, Brother Nile Bulkley III, Brother Chris Drullard, Brother Jamie Jackson, Dr. Harding, Dr. Caudill. I run with people that intimidate me. Say why? Because I'm looking up, not down.
Amen.
You know, life is a whole lot better looking up than down.
Right.
We were getting on a plane. I think we were coming back from Honolulu, and there was a girl there, and she kind of sheepishly sat down beside my wife while we were waiting on the flight, and I could tell she had some kind of accent, but she didn't say enough for me to figure it out. And I knew it wasn't a southern or an eastern accent, and I knew it was foreign, but I couldn't tell what it was. And things started filling up and filling up, and another lady sat down, and this girl started talking. She's from Switzerland. Well, she just spent 6 weeks in Hawaii. She left Switzerland and came to Hawaii, and now she was going to L.A. to spend a few weeks, and then Las Vegas, and then fly home. First time she had ever been on a plane is when she left Switzerland to go to Hawaii. That poor little girl was scared to death. She couldn't be more than 18, 19 years old. And she said, I'm really kind of nervous. I thought, yeah, no wonder you are. I said, don't worry, I've done this a lot. She said, but sometimes the plane shakes. She said, I actually saw the wings doing this. I said, you better be glad they're doing that. If they're not doing that, it's going to rip apart. Don't worry. And I tried to calm her down a little bit. Say why? She was afraid. Shoot. I could take off in a plane, didn't even know we took off. I pop things open, start working, and I'm engrossed in it, and I don't give a rip. We were getting ready to go, and one of the stewardesses was trying to be creative, and everybody's and they're getting ready to do their little spiel. You know, she said, everybody look this way. Did somebody lose this? And she held up one of the seatbelts. She said, good, now that I got your attention, listen to me. I leaned over to my wife and said, she's good. She's good. Now, wait a minute. That person got tired of talking to people that won't listen to her. I get it. Galatians 4:9. Turn there. Some of you ought to memorize this verse. I'm going to help you with something tonight. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. This is a verse I put to memory years ago, but I want you to see it, and I want you to read it out loud with me. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. Are you there? Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. Ready? Let's read it together out loud. Ready? But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. God said it right there. Why do you want to run around and be in bondage like you were before you got saved? Why do you want to run around in discouragement and despair, fear, and just freaked out and weird? Because, oh, everything's just falling apart. It's because you're looking at everything falling apart and you're not looking at him. Why go back to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? I could get rid of about 3/4 of your medicine cabinet for your psych drugs. I'm not saying that there's not medical reasons to have those. There are. But just like anything else, it can be abused. Quit looking at all that's going on around you and start looking up. Oh, the world's just getting worse and worse. Yeah, that means Jesus is coming. Keep looking up. Quit looking around. Amen? Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. Don't turn there. It's the story of Cain and Abel, and Cain's countenance changed. His countenance was wroth. He didn't want to do what God said, and God literally said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 5, that his countenance, it went down. His countenance was cast down. It doesn't take long to see people that are angry, fearful. I love watching people. I love trying to make people smile. And everywhere I go, I'm trying to be cordial. Hi, howdy, you know, that kind of thing. When you travel, you have to do that. Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself. And I just like being friendly to people. I forget where we were or what we were doing, and I said hi to somebody, and they just went. I looked at my wife and said, boy, I'm glad I don't have to wake up to that every day. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't look around, I look up. If you see somebody and they're walking at you like this, okay, their countenance is cast down. Or they look like this. You'll never know when I'm down. I'll never tell you. I'll never show you. Say why? Because life is above to the wise. I'm not going to live in the hell beneath. I didn't say that the hell was going to remove itself from underneath me. Still going to feel the heat. But I don't have to live worried about it. Happen to know I got fire insurance in heaven. Glory to God. God put the Holy Spirit of God into every believer so that they can look up and get a view from God and not our flesh. Why do we listen to our flesh and look down and look around while we're under attack? We have the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to show us exactly how to not live that way. I don't know how else to say this. When we look around, all we see is sin and its effects and the hell beneath. No wonder you're discouraged. It's time to learn to look at heaven and not be satisfied with the view from hell. Well, did you see in the news, preacher? No, I didn't read it. Say why? Because I'm not going to look at the hell beneath. You'll be surprised how little news I really do read. I read highlights and bits and pieces of everything, but I don't remember the last full article I ever read because it's so filled full of lies and opinion. And I never watch the news. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Look at the disciples. Jesus is walking on the water. They're in a storm, in a boat, on the Sea of Galilee. It's a ghost. Now, folks, here's 12 Baptist preachers changing doctrine. They're seeing ghosts. Ooh. Spooky weirdos. They were willing to change doctrine than to believe that it was Jesus. Then you got one so arrogant, says, well, I still don't believe it. If thou be the Son of God, bid me come thee onto water. Okay, Peter, you open your big mouth. I'm about to fill it with water. Here we go. Everybody wants to applaud Peter for jumping out of the boat. I think he was stupid. Jesus told him, get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side. He didn't say, because you're the Son of God. He said, if thou be. He said, come on, Peter. But you ain't going to make it all the way. What happened? He started looking around at the storm and the waves that were boisterous and began to sink. Do you know how close to Jesus he was when he sank? Reach your arm out. That close? Less than 3 feet. Peter was less than 3 feet away from Jesus when he began to sink. You know why? He quit looking up and he started looking around. Why is it that we think we can look around and be safe? Why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Wise people choose not to focus on all the hell going on around. They fix their eyes up. That's what Psalm 121, 1 and 2 is all about. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. I will lift up mine eyes. Folks, it's time we start looking up, not around. Amen. Start looking up, not down. Focusing on the problem does not bring a solution. Amen. When you look up, you're focusing on the solution, not the problem. Right. Number two, and you'll be glad. Don't put your shoes on yet, Miss Kathy. Yeah. Number two, the wise look ahead, not back. The wise look ahead, not back. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Again, I could quote this. I'm not going to. I'm going to read it for you. But Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. That word perfect does not mean sinless. It means complete. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wise people look ahead, not backwards. I've said this often in our church. Too many people want to relive the past and not live in the present. Try driving home tonight and not looking out the windshield and only look in your rearview mirror. Do me a favor, wait till I get home before you do it. You're going to crash. By the way, too many people live their life and all they want to do is look in the rearview mirror. You want what was, not what is. There's a reason the rearview mirror is only that big and the windshield's the whole width of the car. You're to look back as a reference, not to live. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Fools want what was. Wise people live in what is and plan for what will be. I live for today. I'm going to make a statement here. I think it either has been or will be on the radio before too long on one of the broadcasts that I put out there. Every day should be its own life. Live each day like it's its own life. You have birth in the morning or resurrection. You have the youth of the morning. You have the middle age of the day and you have the senior moments of the evening, and then there's a death. It's its own life. So many of you miss so much in life. Can I tell you why? Because you're trying to gather things and get more money and buy more things so you can go in more debt, so you can work more hours so that you can do less things. As my wife and I were in Hawaii, I stopped and looked at plants and flowers. I was interested in the things that I had not seen, birds and different things. someone used to say this way, stop and smell the roses. Well, I can't smell, but I can look at them. I saw the beauty of God's creation. I saw God in miraculous ways. By the way, I see him every day. Doesn't matter where I'm at. Too many parents, hang on, want children to stay small. Bless God, I was happy to see mine grow up and leave home. Glory! I taught them to pay their own bills, so I didn't have to pay their lazy ways. My daughter said something just this last week. She said she took a picture a year ago, and she was at the same place now. And she showed a picture of Hudson a year ago and now, and how he's just grown so much. I wished he was back. I said, no, you don't. I said, Mindy, you'd have a lot more problems in life if he didn't change as much as he has. Yeah, that's not what I meant, Dad. I said, it didn't matter. That's what you said. You see, if he was the same this year as he was last year, we would say there's something wrong.
Yes, sir.
He's not developing. Everybody doing okay? Then why is it when they're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years old, you won't let them grow up because you still want to be mommy or daddy?
Yes, sir. True.
Too many parents want to stay mommy and daddy and be buddies with the kids instead of letting go. Bless God, when my last kid left, we sold the house, built a new one, and none of them have keys. Matter of fact, they didn't even know what the address was. Can I tell you why too many kids want to stay kids and not grow up? Because they don't want to do what they're supposed to do. They don't want to look up. Man, time to grow up. Wise people take the lessons of success and the lessons of failure from the past, replicate the success, and try not to replicate the failure. That is exactly how you're supposed to study history. I'll make a statement here. We're not supposed to throw away the parts of history we don't like. We're to study it so we don't make the same mistakes. Those who are trying to get rid of the Confederacy, get rid of the Civil War mentality that happened in our country and the slavery, are the very ones who want to be the slave owners in America. They want to start another revolution, but they want to be the slave master, not the slave. So let's make our country ignorant of the fact and say that the Civil War started over slavery. No, it didn't. It started over states' rights versus federal rights. Had nothing to do with slavery. Had everything to do with who is in control, the state or the federal. And I hate to tell you, this next election could precipitate the next civil war when states start superseding over federal election. The purpose of studying history is so you can learn from the past, repeat the success, and not reproduce the failure. We were at Pearl Harbor. There was, I'd say there was about 8 or 10 of us in the group that we were with. And on the way, of course, World War II history is my wheelhouse. And especially, I just enjoy World War II history, and I understand a lot about it. I've taught it. And the guide and I were talking back and forth, and he was saying things, and he would ask for questions, and man, I had the rapid fire on. Amen, Brother Greg. It was on auto fire. And there was a couple that got off with us, and I'm guessing they were probably 5, 7, 8 years older than we were. And they just kind of stood next to us. We would go somewhere and I'd say something to my wife and they'd start asking questions to me. They said, boy, you know a lot about history. I said, yeah. I said, I've taught history at many different levels. They were starting to ask me questions. And I'd start talking to them about it. And they said, can we stay with you? I said, sure. And they started asking questions. Well, I started asking them where they were from. Come to find out, this guy played professional baseball. He played for the Minnesota Twins in the 1980s. Of course, he and I had a connection there. Then come find out, when he was playing double-A ball, he was with the Toledo Mudhens and lived in Maumee, which is exactly down the road from where my mom and dad lived in the same town. And where my wife was at when we met in college at the same time he was playing there. Just kind of a neat how it all worked together kind of thing. And he said, how in the world did you learn all this? We went to school and I said, it's because you went to public school, didn't you? Yeah, I said, they don't teach that anymore. He said, what books? I mean, he was just, and I began to educate him. Man, they thought I was smart. Got them fooled, amen. Now, wait a minute. I wanted to see his baseball card. And he had it. I got to see it. Hey, I know enough about this stuff. Trust me. Wait a minute. Wise people learn from the past. Here's the problem. I said, you'll read in history where it says that the commander of the base at Pearl Harbor was the one that decided to put the planes in the middle of the runway. I said, that came down from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. When you go into the exhibit has it right. The commander said, the commander-in-chief made me do this, and it's against every Army regular, and at that time the Air Force was under the Army, it's against every regulation we had. But the president said do it, so we did it. Everybody doing okay? Now, you're not going to find that in a history book unless it was written pre-1960. Post-1960, they blamed the commander. Pre-1960, they give the credit to whom credit's due. Why? Because they're trying to change history so they can now overtake you. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, and I'll get us out quickly. Wise people focus on the eternal, not the temporary. Wise people focus on the eternal, not the temporary. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You want to see an amazing verse. Some of you ought to put this verse to memory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of you that live at the brink of a nervous breakdown, memorize this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, why are you looking around at everything that's going to fizzle out and die? Look to God. Look to the Word of God. Some of you have found out money can't buy you everything. Money can rent happiness, but it can't buy happiness. But you can also become enslaved to money. I know many people that your God is the dollar bill. You're so enslaved to it that you have to work so many more hours and you're addicted to spending. The seen is the temporary. The unseen is the eternal. Say, well, preacher, I can't see it. I can't see it. That means trust it. Well, I just can't see. I know. Just trust it. Amen. My sister-in-law back there just about ready to. I kept telling him, just trust it. But I know. But just trust me. And every time God steps in. Amen. You see, you're so worried about because you can't see it because you want to be God. You want to be in control. Well, I hate to tell you something. When you finally learn to let go and let God control, you ain't never going to have control. But I'd rather have God guide that plane than me. Me too. Too many people going to die if I have to fly that thing. the Bible are the eternal words of life. John 6:68. These are the eternal words of God. Maybe we ought to look to it instead of what we see around us. What about John 17:2-3? Eternal life to those who believe. How about we start getting ready for eternal life and not worry about this one so much? I happen to think if you're ready for eternal life, this life is nothing. Shoot. Now somebody might say something. Oh, God bless you. I'm sure somebody said something about my wife and I at the beach when she's in an ankle-length dress. I had all my clothes on. I rolled up my britches underneath my knees, trying to get her out into the water a little bit. And we're walking down the beach like that, hand in hand, having the time of our life. A couple kids were snickering at us. We were sitting on a log, driftwood log, for a little bit. I said, "You want to give them a real show?" "Preacher, you didn't." "Yeah, I did. I'm going to strip down and go naked just because there's sand in the water." "Amen." "Everybody doing all right?" "See, were you afraid? Were you ashamed?" "No, I was having the time of my life. I was with my bride. We were having a good time." "Well, I wouldn't have been caught dead that way. That's why you're not happy and you're worried all the time and I'm not." Somebody say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9, talks about eternal salvation. Before you get so wrapped up about how things are so bad in this life, how about you realize you're saved on your way to heaven?
That's good.
This is as bad as it ever gets. Think about it this way. To the lost, this is as good as it ever gets for them.
Right.
No wonder they're depressed all the time. Hebrews 9:14 talks about the eternal Spirit of God that dwelleth in us. We have the eternal Holy Spirit of God. He is God, and if you're saved, he dwells inside of you.
Amen.
Then, looking at the hell of the temporary things brings hell on earth. Mark 3:29 talks about hell is eternal damnation. Folks, do you realize how bad hell really will be? I'll be honest with you. I respect our military extremely high. I mean that. Of course, I've got a boy in the Air Force, and I don't see a veteran without shaking their hand and thanking them. We were at the LAX airport waiting on our flight, and there was a man there that he was higher in rank because on his hat you could see the bars on there. And I didn't know exactly what his rank was, but he wasn't an enlisted man. He was an officer. I would guess he was in his 70s or 80s. He was an older man. I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to go over and shake his hand and thank him." I walked over and shook his hand. I thanked him, told him about my boy in Jordan, and we talked for just a moment. I wished you could have seen his wife's face. She lit up like a Christmas tree. He was humbled. She was proud. Isn't that the way it should be? Now hang on for a second here. But I wonder how many people gave their life for our freedom and died and went to hell to do it. I stood at that wall at the USS Arizona. 1,100 and I think 60 some names. And I thought the vast majority of the names on that wall are burning in hell right now. For our freedom. I don't know about you, but that moves me. Somebody that loves our country enough to die and go to hell for it, well, I'm dying and going to heaven and I'm going to give my life for it.
Amen. That's good.
Hebrews 6:2 talks about hell being eternal judgment. Can I tell you something? No wonder everybody wants to judge each other, because you're living the hell beneath. Quit judging everybody based on what you think. God didn't die and leave you in charge. Thank God. Not everybody cares what your opinion is. Everybody doing okay? And I don't mean that unkindly, but why do we think that we have to insert what we think? Because we're trying to be God. Eternal judgment. There is eternal judgment in hell. Did you know there's no eternal judgment in heaven? There's eternal life, not eternal judgment. Jude 7 says there's eternal fire in hell. No wonder some of you live so fired up all the time, because you're living the hell beneath. Angry, mad, bad attitude, fiery words all the time. Why would any Christian choose to live falling and trudging and wandering through the hell beneath? I don't understand it. Because God said in Proverbs 15:24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Maybe we ought to choose to live above. No Christian ought to choose to live the hell beneath. Amen. While we're here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. Which way have you been focused? Looking up, looking down, or around? Looking back, or looking ahead? Looking eternal, or looking temporary? The way of life is above to the wise.